But Pastor Andrew and I have not done this very often. This being sit beside each other. We do have three children, however. Okay. Just saying. Hey, Cameron's on a date tonight. And he's going to kill me.
We're on the World Wide Web now.
Keep it here.
Good. Yeah. So speaking of the World Wide Web, welcome those who are joining us by live stream. And those who have joined us the first couple of weeks of our School in the Spirit have maybe noticed that, once we finish our teaching time and move into some practical application time, the live stream goes cold, goes dark. There's a reason for that. We want this to be a safe space for us to kind of move into operating in the gifts of the Spirit together and learning and growing together. And so sometimes that can mean, just some things that are more private happening, or things that we don't, we just want to keep it in-house when we're doing the practical stuff. So if you're joining us by live stream, you're welcome to join us for the teaching time, and then we'll transition into the activation time, is what we've been calling it, activation time. And once we do that, the live stream will...
So, for example, this evening we're talking about gifts of the Spirit and kind of the teaching interaction time. Then we're going to have opportunity for you guys to share, for you folks to share. And that's kind of, your story, and it's not necessarily something you want online. So that's, we'll stop streaming at that point. Before we get into it tonight, can I interview a couple people? Margaret, do you have a mic up there?
No, don't think she does.
Sure.
Oh, yeah?
Sure she does. Pastor Graham, can you make that happen? Awesome. So the idea being that we are people of the Spirit, Pastor was sharing this morning. And what that means is living a naturally supernatural lifestyle. So it shouldn't be weird and wacky when stuff happens that's unusual, or God showing up and the divine encounters. In fact, it should be normal. We still celebrate it, and we want to give God glory, and we want to build our faith in that and see that happening more and more and more, but it actually should be the norm.
That's right.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so you cheer me on, and I'll cheer you on, and we'll be okay. All right. So Margaret was telling me something this evening before service, and I asked her if she would share it tonight. So she's up in the sound booth, and she's going to tell her story a little bit.
My face won't be on the www, but my voice will. The pastor was speaking this morning about by faith, our faith has to have action. We can't just believe and have faith. We have to have action. So if you had a mountain or whatever it was in your life, to reach out, grab it, and claim what it was. And my mom was 94 at home. She was watching the service. And she was having a lot of trouble with her back. She has curvature of the spine, so she was having a lot of pain for the last couple of days. So when the pastor said that, she did that. She prayed with him, and the pain totally went away immediately.
Amen.
And she was quite pleased.
Awesome.
She told me as soon as I got in the door what had happened, so I was excited and wanted to share that God moves even over the internet while we're watching. So in the town of Bathurst.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Awesome.
Well,
Very good.
I was sharing with Margaret. I know some of you have heard the story of Carrie Ann's jaw being healed. And that was a few years ago now, 8 or 9 years ago. But it was a similar situation where we were in an atmosphere of worship. And it was just... wasn't any big, huge superstar coming along and praying for, It was an atmosphere of worship, and we had just all the believers in that room had been worshiping God, and his presence was so powerfully there, it was almost thick, And it was quite similar to what you said this morning, but the pastor said, you know, God loves to lavish good gifts on his kids. He just does. So I believe that there's gifts of healing present in the room tonight. So why don't you, in just, you know, your eyes closed, don't worry, you won't look too silly, just, and it's not a name it and claim it kind of crazy thing, but in the presence of God, he wants to give gifts. Holy Spirit wants to give gifts. Take it, and with that faith, touch the part of your body where you need healing tonight. And so my 15-year-old is standing next to me, and out of the corner of my eye, I see her do this with her hands on her jaw. And I won't bore you with all the details, but God actually miraculously touched her jaw. We had found out 2 days before she needed her jaw broken and surgery done. God moved her jaw, literally. That was a Thursday night. Friday, we took her to the orthodontist because she wanted proof, and she's like, something's happening in my face. And the buddy looked in her mouth and said, this isn't the same mouth I looked at 3 days ago. Was this a God thing? He actually asked that. And then he said, you should have taken your other daughter, too, because she needs stuff. But anyway, but just in the atmosphere of worship, you know, mm-hmm. in the presence of God, Holy Spirit does all kinds of amazing and wonderful things. And it didn't have to be a superstar come along and pray for her. It was an act of faith, her knowing and believing and trusting a loving Father and positioning herself to receive the gift that he wanted to give her and acting on it. And God literally moved her jaw. She was in pain for weeks because all of her teeth moved. But literally moved her jaw, which is pretty amazing stuff. But anyway, yeah, that's just one example. But that's a normal, supernatural life. So, anyway.
Amen. We, in this School of the Spirit that we're doing, we're just as nervous as you are to know what is this going to be, right? But excited because we're going to learn and grow together. We've been, the first couple of times we've come together for School of the Spirit has been a little more teaching heavy because we're laying the theological foundation for where we're going and talking about, the first week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit, and then the second week we talked about what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives, and we talked about, remember we talked about Holy Spirit is in me for me and on me for you. Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can watch all of our messages online. You can get that on the website.
That's not fair. In us being the salvation experience, that is for you, and on us being the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so there's empowerment to do supernatural works. There you go.
Good summary. There you go. So so tonight, what we want to do, again, tonight, a little more teaching, but we're going to have some dialogue, kind of once we get through the core of the teaching time, we want a bit of dialogue. But what we're going after tonight is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just kind of a survey of what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what is that all about? So let's pray just before we dig into that. God, thanks that you are here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you desire not just to fill our minds with information, but to fill our lives with your presence. You desire to make us mighty and effective for your kingdom. So God, we are willing and ready to go to school. Willing and ready to learn. Our hearts are open. We just invite you to come have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So forgot that was up there. So how many have heard of dark matter? Dark matter. The scientists that study the universe say that there's this dark matter out there. And they don't know what it is, but something out there, some substance is holding the universe together and they don't know what it is. And because they don't know what it is and they can't see it, They call it dark matter. And recent studies have proven that the dark matter holding the universe together is actually coffee. Yeah. But actually, it's Jesus. We know it's Jesus that holds the universe together. Amen? Okay. Don't write that down. Yeah. Okay. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? So one of the prime, there's a number of passages in the New Testament that talk about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the primary ones being 1 Corinthians 12, and we're gonna walk through a little bit of that. I'm gonna try not to get too deep into teacher mode, because
that's why I'm sitting here.
That's not our goal. Isn't to just be information heavy. Our goal is to be application heavy, right? But we do need some information to apply. So gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, purpose of the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last time, is to empower us, enable us to do some supernatural things that we cannot do in and of ourselves, right? So when we look at these, Jesus saying to his disciples in John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, greater things will you do. You know, he did some pretty amazing things as he walked on this earth, but he said to his disciples, greater things, these same things you will do, and even greater, because I'm going to the Father. Right? So Jesus was saying that he was sending us out on a mission, and we would not just get to do what we get to do in our strength, but we'd get to do some of the things Jesus was doing. Healing people, having supernatural knowledge about their lives that would enable us to set them free. Cast out demons. Raise the dead even. Jesus raised more than one person from the dead, right? And so when we look at the book of Acts and we see the early church in action, that's what the book of Acts is all about, the Acts of the Apostles. Ba-boom-ba. I don't know what that is.
I did not do that. You did.
So the Acts of the Apostles, when we look in the book of Acts, we see right away John and Peter going to the temple and somebody's healed, right? They don't even pray for the guy. They just say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he does, right? And so we see all through the book of Acts, we see this power of the Holy Spirit displayed in the lives of the disciples. And so we call these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Can we pause there for a second?
Sure.
Why do you think it is that Jesus spent so much time modeling that and that we're challenged in that? This is great ideals. These are fantastic ideals. But do you think this can actually happen in Bathurst?
It has happened in Bathurst.
Give me an example.
Yes, I believe it can happen in Bathurst.
What's an example?
Well, I haven't been in Bathurst very long, but I have heard stories of people being healed and stuff happening.
Okay, just keeping it real. All right, let's go.
Might be better to ask someone who's been here longer, but okay.
But we're not just talking about healing, right? We're talking about, are you going to give us a list of the gifts?
I'm going to give you
okay, good.
More than one list.
Awesome, that's even better.
Good. So, we use the term gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in your English Bible, you actually find that phrase. So if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So it's important that we are informed about the gifts of the Spirit, right? But here's the deal. Just the original language that this was written in, the words "gifts of the Spirit" don't actually exist in the Greek language that this was written in. The phrase "gifts of the Spirit" is the common phrase that we use to talk about the gifts, and it's not a bad phrase, but it's actually not a New Testament phrase. And here's why. What we actually find in the Greek language in this passage, what we actually find is in this, where Paul says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." What it actually says is, "Now about spirituals, I do not want you to be uninformed." Because Greek has this funny thing where sometimes it uses an adjective and leaves out the noun that it's describing just to mess us up, right? And so about spiritual, it doesn't even say what, about spiritual things or spiritual. So that highlights for us that whatever these things are that God does through our lives, it is spiritual in nature. It is spiritual in origin. It's not something we conjure up in ourselves. It's not something we convince ourselves that someone's healed. There's actually something spiritual that takes place when we engage with the Holy Spirit in the ministry that we're doing, okay? So the word "spirituals" is there. About spirituals, I don't want you to be uninformed, he says. But then he goes on down and he says, there are different kinds, in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that's why the translators kind of take the spirituals and the gifts, and they put it together, and they say, oh, that must be what Paul's talking about, right? Is spiritual gifts, right? Make sense? So the other thing we want to know about this is that they are gifts. Charismata comes from the word charis, which is grace, and they are graces. They are gifts. They are gifts of God's grace, right? So what we know is they're spiritual in origin and they are gifts. They're things that don't come from us, right? I mean, I don't know if you buy yourself a birthday gift. I don't know if that counts or not, but
I do.
But a gift is actually something that comes from someone else, right? So the idea here is that this thing, whatever is happening through these early Jesus followers' lives, it was a gift. It was something that came from outside of them. It came from God, right? So it's spiritual, and it is a gift.
Are you going to now talk about the purpose of the gift, that it's not for us? Are we headed there?
I will get
there. Okay, no, yeah. Because I just know that sometimes that can be a stumbling block. Sometimes we think these are gifts for us, and they're not actually for us. They're for others. Yeah, okay.
Yep. This kind of is that.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So it says there are different kinds of gifts. So here's just a list of things that Paul uses to describe these things that are happening. They're gifts. Different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. He's kind of building this thing where they all come from God, is what he's saying here. But they are gifts. They are different kinds of service, right? So service means like actually being a servant, right? Ministry, people talk about ministry, and we use the word ministry like it's this, oh, well, I'm in ministry, right? It's like really important. I'm in ministry. The word ministry in the Bible actually means, it's the word diakonoi. It's the word to serve, to wait on tables. So ministry is not meant to be uppity. It's meant to be downity. Sure. Let's use that word. It's meant
serving.
Meant to get down and dirty and serve and love and give, right? So these things that God does through people, they're gifts, they're spiritual, they're gifts, and they're ministry. They're serving others, right? They're outward focused. The moment we think that a healing gift or a prophecy gift or a whatever gift, is that me? I don't think it's me. I think it's you. I don't know who it is. The moment we begin to think it's about me. Oh, I get to show off my gift. I get to, you know, do something special and wow, I'm going to look important now, right? The moment we do that, we undercut its purpose and its value, right?
I'm going to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment we try to, so if a gift is given through your life to someone else, whether it's a prophetic word or something, the moment we try to control what they do with that gift, that becomes a problem too. For example, I remember Graham Cook doing some teaching on, used the analogy of a postman. Is Paul here tonight? Nope. Okay. A postman delivers the mail to your house. He, however, does not come into your house, open your bills, and make sure you write a check. Right? He delivers the mail to your house. And the role that a lot of us play as we allow God to use us in being a blessing in others' lives, or to speak truth, or deliver a word, or whatever, is then our job is done. Right? We get to deliver it, and then what the other person does with it is up to them. We don't jump in and try to make something happen in their life. We are not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does a fantastic job, and sometimes we get to be a part of it by playing a specific role, delivering a certain gift, but we don't have to step in and make stuff happen. Well, if you do that, you end up falling flat on your face. But anybody know that from experience, or is it just me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, apparently it's just me.
You're the only honest one.
Okay.
Okay, so there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So this word work is the word energemi. It is the word for that we get energy from. The English word energy comes from this word energemi. And so it's this working, this energy of God at work through us, right? This activity of God at work through us. So they're spiritual, they're gifts, they're service, and they're the working of God. God working through us. Isn't it amazing that God chooses to partner with us, right? He chooses to do his work through weak, broken vessels like us, through clay pots like us, right?
Crack pots.
Speak for yourself.
I just think of the past. Sorry, I'm going to interject something here, but are you going to go back to manifestation? That's always an interesting one to talk
about. I'm getting there.
Okay. Yep. Well, Philippians 2, to what the passage comes to mind, therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, this is a letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And the picture of that, it's right there, I promise.
Okay.
Okay. The picture of that is not just us working and striving in our own strength, but to will and to act according to his two purposes as we all work together in multiple facets of the different giftings that God uses in our different personalities and our different expressions of That's worship. Good. Is there anybody in this room that feels like anybody else in this room is exactly like them? Everyone in this room is, you're all very unique in how you, God is the same.
Let's some are more
let's
than
say it,
more
yesterday,
unique than
today,
others.
And forever. Some are more unique than others.
Yeah.
And no one's like him. I concur. no one's like me either, Jim. It's okay. But we all, God is the same, but we experience him in and through our lives in very different ways.
Yep.
Suzanne is very different than Anne. Anne is very different than Ross. Ross, you're very different than Pauline. Our personalities, our giftings, the way we hear, our past experience, our heart, what we're passionate about. We experience God in different ways. We all need one another, though. It's almost like this multifaceted reflection of the body of how God wants to work in us is how he wants to work through every one of us in different ways. But, you know, he gives us some models and how we can do that effectively. So
it's true. It's good. Good truth. So so different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. And then in verse 7, it says, now to each one, everybody say to each one.
To each one.
Oh, that was pathetic. Try it again. To each one.
To each one.
Ah, there we go. So that means nobody's left out. Oh, that spiritual gift stuff, that's for other people. That's for those keeners.
It's only for people that are extroverts.
That's for, yeah, extroverts. That's for those super spiritual people. That's not for me. To each one. God wants every one of us to be activated in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's going to look, as Pam said, it's going to look really different for each one of us. But To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. So Paul's kind of building this. So it's their gifts, their service, their working. But here's what they really are. He's summing it all up. They're manifestations of the Spirit. Right? That word manifestation sounds like a big word, but it's like making tangible in real world something like, that you can't see.
Almost like evidence?
Yeah. Manifest. Manifestation, right? So something is manifest. You couldn't see it before, but now you see it. That's what manifest means. And so these gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit. So who here has seen the Holy Spirit? Me neither, right? We can't see Holy Spirit, but you have seen a manifestation of the Spirit when the gifts of the Spirit are in action and someone's life is touched by the work of God through someone's life.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
I don't think we always recognize it as that, though. Honestly, do you think that sometimes a lot of that happens and we don't even notice?
Yes, I think we tend to have this picture of gifts of the Spirit are something that happens when you go into some kind of weird trance and the Holy Spirit takes possession of your body and you flop around and do weird things that are out of your control.
Just to be clear, this is not accurate. This is
No, that's not at all what gifts of the Spirit are. But I think we have this idea that, that's just too spooky. That's too, you know, I couldn't do that. But in fact, what we're going to learn over the next number of weeks is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually very practical. They're not spooky. They're not like the Holy Spirit doesn't take over your body generally in some kind of weird way. It's But he works through us in ways that we didn't expect or that we know, oh, where'd that come from? Right? That wasn't me, right? That was Holy Spirit.
And I'm just going to interject here too that it's not something you either have or you don't. It's something that you grow in. Right? Let me back up a little bit. Pastor Kevin last Sunday night was speaking about divine encounters and mentioned spiritual discipline about speaking in tongues 30 minutes a day, just sort of increasing your ability to hear and your focus and so on. And it's interesting because I had numerous conversations this week with people that were doing that, just as a spiritual discipline, kind of practicing. And we are spirit, I know you're going to do more teaching on this, but spirit, soul, and body. We're not a body with a spirit. We are a spirit with a body. So where Holy Spirit resides within us, we can actually increase our capacity and our ability to hear the Lord, the discipline and our ability to hear the Lord by growing in spiritual disciplines. Right? So our focus, our how we react to things, setting aside time to fast and pray, to, you know, spiritual disciplines, we can increase our capacity for our ability to hear God, and at that same time, our capacity to grow in how Holy Spirit functions through our lives in these gifts. So it's not something that if you, you're going, oh, okay, I have that one, and I'm never going to have any other ones. I just wanted to throw that in here. Mm-hmm. That this is something that is it's a journey.
It's a growing thing. And in case you need some biblical, that's good, hon. Some biblical proof, in case you're hearing Pam say it's something you grow in, it's not something God just drops on you and suddenly you have it, but it's something that you grow in. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Okay.
You can choose to grow in it. You can choose not to.
Absolutely. So Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. 6? 6. Do not neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit, but fan into flame. Something like that. Am I close?
Yeah. No, you can ask. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
Can you lose a gift?
If you're talking about fanning a gift, mm-hmm. it means that there's levels of improvement. Mm-hmm. So can you lose a gift if you ignore it?
Like a muscle and you lose.
Can
I throw something in here too? Just as you're saying that, I'm remembering. That's okay. It's actually a really good question, Jim. Thank you. Really good question. I want to land here for a second in case there's people in the room that are sort of a...
the long grace thing. Intimacy. Disciplines and intimacy. Determining level of authority.
Okay. No, actually, it's a really good... Because I'll tell you why. Sometimes this all gets misinterpreted as if I just strive harder, I'll be able to do better. Okay? That's actually not what we're saying. Okay? Because you, going to help me with this one? The level, okay, as a believer, the level of spiritual disciplines and intimacy you choose to walk in is going to determine the level of authority that you can walk in. Okay? God has given you authority, but whether or not you choose to grow in disciplines and intimacy with him is going to determine how much he's able to flow through your life.
It's not earning brownie points by putting in the hours reading the Bible so that, okay, now you got enough notches, so God will give you a little more.
Because that's a trap.
But it's all about relationship. So the intimacy that we have with God means that God can trust us with more because we know his heart.
Because there's nothing
we're
you can.
In tune with His heart.
There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Because His love and acceptance of you is not what we're talking about. We're actually talking about living a Spirit-filled life on mission, with a level, with a degree of authority, and that's a very different. It's not a different thing, but it's more. Did that make any sense? Because you all look real confused. I'm concerned I'm confusing.
So Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame, right? So Timothy had been, some things had been deposited in his life through Paul says this elsewhere too in 1 Timothy, his first letter, 1 Timothy 4. Don't neglect the gift of the Spirit that was given to you by the laying on of hands, right? And here in 2 Timothy, he says, fan into flame the gift of the Spirit. And so so basically, God gives us what happens in the baptism of the Spirit is He gives us this boldness, this connection with the Holy Spirit, this courage, this power, this the presence and power of God. But how many know when you start a new job, right? You might do training. I remember I actually worked at McDonald's for 3 months. Not because I got fired, but I've got a better job. But anyways, I worked at McDonald's for 3 months. When I first started at McDonald's, I did the training, which meant watch some videos, and then I was put on the grill. And I was put beside someone, and I watched this other person go, whoosh, 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 you know, and they flipped all the burgers, because back then you actually flip burgers. Now you don't, right? But they would just flip, 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 flip. And I went to do it, and I'm like, right? I hadn't used those muscles. I hadn't learned how to do it. I had to learn. And by the end of the 3 months, I could flip just as fast as everyone else. But it took learning and growing in it, right? And as we begin to exercise the gifts of the Spirit, as we begin to activate them and function in them, when we first start doing it, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip. We're going to fall on our face. And it's okay. That's one of the things we want to say about the School of the Spirit is this is a safe place to make mistakes. In fact, if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not taking enough risks. And you're probably not stepping out in faith enough. Does that make sense? Yes, Pastor Graham.
He's
cheating. He has a mic.
Yeah, I do. I probably don't need it. To Jim's question, a thought that I was having, because he was asking specifically, can you lose it? And this is completely separate from loss of salvation, which is another form of theology. But it follows a similar tracking, where if you're expecting the Holy Spirit to continue to manifest in your life, to see evidence and growing evidence of it, but yet you're living contrary to the word of the Lord, then you should not expect continued manifestation. However, in regards to losing it, it's not God. Yes, He's a God, a just God, but He's not. It's not always a cause and effect situation. If you want to expand on that,
we need to have a philosophy, religious philosophy night.
Well, yeah, it's challenging because there's a lot of ideas, and we're just touching on a lot of things. But we want to get to activation and praying together and practicing stuff. So it's hard
we're
to
just,
know what
we
to
don't
talk.
Want to get too deep into one one thing. That's Laura, you had a comment about it too.
All the conversation was making me think about
It's like
it's a good example. Everybody hear that?
It's training. So if you don't practice it for months, it doesn't necessarily mean it's gone, but you're certainly not going to be as good at it.
The door is not going to open for you to go and play a gig anywhere because people are going to see that you have no training on the guitar. The guitar is still in your closet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all the more reason to be actively practicing, training, trusting, looking for chances all the time. See, God is much more willing to use us than is that the right word, use? God is more willing to work through our lives than we are even willing to step out and take the risk a lot of times.
So
we'll talk about it more at our connect group tomorrow night. How's that?
Jesus would often send his disciples out two by two and as a ministry team to go out and preach the kingdom, heal the sick. Didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. And cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, right? He said, go do these things. So then they went out and they did them to varying degrees of success. And they came back to Jesus. And he would then have a debrief with them. He'd sit down with them and say, they would say, we saw people healed. They would give a report of the things that happened.
Worked? How come this didn't work? How come whatever? So it's kind of like that's almost what we're wanting to do here. We're wanting to learn here and go do and then come back and talk about this worked and this didn't work.
And then remember Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he finds his disciples trying to cast a demon out of a boy and they can't do it. And everybody's upset and there's this thing going on. And so then Jesus steps in and he does it to show them, because they had come to a place of, well, this can't be done. And Jesus steps in and does it. And then again, they debrief. When they're together alone, they say, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? And Jesus teaches them, right? So there was this growth process that Jesus was taking his disciples on to learn how to carry and manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
So Jesus says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. And the challenge for us as believers is then to learn how to walk in it. It's not to measure up so we get it. God's already given so many things that we just need to walk in.
So the manifestation of the Spirit, Paul says, is given for the common good. For the common good. And again, just to remind ourselves, this is not about the person functioning in the gift.
Yeah.
It is about the person receiving the ministry. Mm-hmm. Right? It's never about me. It's about the person I'm serving. The person, it's for the common good. If the Holy Spirit's moving through my life, it's not for my sake, it's for your sake.
The beautiful part of that, though, is that God uses it to unwrap things in each one of our lives as we are on this journey with him.
Okay, really fast. There's a number of lists of gifts in the New Testament. One is here in 1 Corinthians 12. We're just going to run through that one. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So these are supernaturally given. So a situation's here. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to, where do I go from here? What do I do in this situation? And suddenly a thought comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh, I know what to do. Right? That's a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that word of wisdom is for someone else. It's like, oh, did you try this? I just really feel impressed to tell you this. And wow, yeah. So it's a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is information about a situation or about a person that we wouldn't have known naturally, right? Again, we don't want to get too bogged down into each one of these or we'll never get through them, but... We're going to dig into each one of these over the weeks to come, right? So this is an overview.
I'm sure a lot of you have seen different spiritual gifts in operation, different ways in your lives, and we're going to have a chance to share that in a moment. would love to hear from you, experiences that you've had around mm-hmm. things like this. Mm-hmm. Word of knowledge, though, very interesting, because it's not just, God doesn't just say, give someone a word of knowledge just so they can feel all warm and fuzzy. There's often a purpose mm-hmm. in the word of knowledge. So say, for example, if I'm standing up here or, you know, and God gives me a picture of, for some reason I'm getting a picture of an orange, you know, and somebody in the room is that means something for them, and it connects them and opens their spirit to, how could you possibly know that my, I don't know, my orange car, I have no idea. This isn't a moment. I'm not getting a word right now. I'm just using an example. But how could God know that? He must really love me. He must really have something for me. He's setting me up for a divine encounter. And oftentimes a word of knowledge isn't just about that word of knowledge. It's about setting someone up for a divine encounter, right? And a lot of the times we find that spiritual gifts are like that. Something that, whether it's a gift of manifestation or word of encouragement or exhortation or even in a public setting, where a tongues and interpretation or whatever, it's about setting people up to have a divine encounter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
Yep. So gift of faith. So everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior has faith, or else, I mean, we can't even come into the kingdom except by faith, right? So we all have faith. But this is a gift of faith. It's a supernatural ability to believe God for big things, right? Gifts of healings. And this is significant that both the word gifts and healings are in the plural in the Greek here. So there are many kinds of healing, right? There's physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. There's many kinds of healing, and so there are gifts of healings.
Can I go back to faith for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Gift of faith. That oftentimes, if you've had a breakthrough in something in your life, okay, I have dealt with depression and anxiety for years and years. So because I have seen tremendous provision from the Lord and healing in my life in those areas, God gives me a supernatural measure of faith to believe that for others. So if you've seen God miraculously touch and heal your hip, if I've got somebody at the altar and you're up here ministering with me and someone comes up and says, something's out with my hip, I'm going to say, Suzanne, come on over here. You have an authority to pray into this, and you have a gift of faith to believe for this in a way that maybe I don't, because I haven't experienced that. And I recognize that spiritual gift in your life. And, you know, we could minister. And so, anyway, just throwing that in.
It's good, yeah. Miraculous powers. So this is kind of a vague term, just like Peter walked on water because Jesus called him out of the boat, right? How do you walk on water? I don't know. It wasn't even Bathurst in the wintertime. Like, it was actually walking on water, right? I don't know how you do that, except there are moments when supernatural miracles are needed in a situation, and God enables us to do something we couldn't normally do, right? Prophecy. Prophecy is speaking the heart of God to someone else or into a situation. It's really what prophecy is. Speaking the heart of God into a situation. distinguishing spirits. So discerning what spirit is at work in a situation. Is this Holy Spirit? Is this a demonic spirit? Or is this fleshly human stuff? Right? Like, what's going on here in this situation? And speaking in tongues. So this is different. The gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Paul kind of gives these together. The gift of speaking in tongues is not about what happens to us when we're baptized in the Spirit and we begin to speak in other tongues in our worship to God and in prayer. This is speaking publicly. This is speaking out a message. And sometimes it's even speaking in a known language that we did not learn before for the purpose of ministry. I have a friend who was supernaturally given two languages because he was a missionary, went to places where he didn't know the language, was desperate for God to touch his life and enable him to, and so he closed himself in a room. He went to Italy, closed himself in a room for 3 days and said, God, you need to give me Italian. I need to minister to these people. And God supernaturally gave him the language of Italian, and he was able to speak and preach and minister in Italian. And then he was with Operation Mobilization that goes all around the world. And so then he was sent to the Punjab region of India and ministering to Sikhs there. And God supernaturally gave him the Punjabi language. I've been with him in a Sikh temple doing a world religions tour and heard him speaking fluently with a Punjabi priest. And God just gave him that language, right? So, crazy stuff, but okay. Another.
But if his desire is that none should perish, wouldn't he go to tremendous lengths to make that happen? And we are the body of Christ who want to see the kingdom of God advance in this area. How much you want to bet he is so much more willing to work in and through our lives to see this whole region transformed than we're even aware. You know? I mean, that's really, I love hearing the stories of Stephen, and I love stories of faith, and I love stories of missionaries and stuff I see online. It builds my faith. It encourages me. It reminds me how amazing God is and that he loves to do stuff in our world. But he really wants to do something here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Like here.
Yep.
And now.
It's good. So another at the
hey,
end.
Maybe I could get French like that.
Maybe. Maybe. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, there's a couple more mentioned. I don't duplicate in these lists, so there's some on the first list that are in the second list, but I didn't duplicate them. So at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, the gift of helps. So supernaturally having this grace and power of God to just come along and serve behind the scenes and minister. And administration. I do not have that gift.
Neither do I.
And then in Romans 12, the ministry of serving, ministry of encouragement. Some people just have a supernatural ability. They can see things that only God sees in someone's life, and they can speak it out and encourage people. Giving, a supernatural ability to be generous, financially generous, and give. And in all of these gifts, you know, we all need to serve. We're all called to serve. But there's some that are called to serve in a supernatural way. We're all called to give, but some are called to give in a supernatural way, right? We all should be encouragers, but some have this supernatural ability to encourage, right? Gift of leading. And I think that's, and mercy. Mercy. So none of these, Paul never at any point set out to write an exhaustive list and say, here are all the gifts of the Spirit. He just lists some of them here, and he lists some here, and he lists some here. I believe there's probably gifts of the Spirit that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. It's because they're manifestations of the Spirit of God doing something powerful through your life. Just because it doesn't fit a list doesn't mean it's not a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Yeah, so I think we're out of, let's shift gears. We're going to open things up. So we're going to say,